This meeting is now being recorded.
Judge Conklin?
Yep, present.
Judge Barton? Judge Blum? Oh, got excited there. Judge Buckley?
Here.
Judge Cope? Judge Herman?
Here.
Judge Heinrichs? Judge Lucas?
Here.
Judge Marginez? Judge Maragonda?
Here.
Judge McCabe? Ms. Carter?
So she sent in a comment, but she has confirmed she will not be present with us today.
Thank you. Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Ms. Flinner?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Planet? We were messaging earlier, hoping he'll call in. Mr. Roddy?
Here.
Ms. Romero-Souls? Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Ugrin Capobianco?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki? And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw. And Mr. Theodorovich.
He just texted me to say he's going to be a few minutes late.
He'll be coming. And Judge Gabe.
Here.
Thank you.
We just joined as well. This is David Yamasaki and Judge Marginez.
Thank you.
And Mike Planet, too.
There you are.
Excellent. So has anybody else, since roll call started, called in and not had a chance to confirm their presence? Okay, I think we're just missing a few of our judges. I think we can go ahead and get started. I'm hopeful those folks will call in. But this agenda has a potential of taking up to an hour, and so I'd like to get started with that. A few things to go over initially now that roll call has been taken. I'll remind everybody the meeting's open to the public. Even though it's a telephonic meeting, it is open. It's being recorded. So especially since it's a telephonic call, if you have a comment to make, which are encouraged, please identify yourself. And again, as you all know, don't place your phones on mute because none of us will be able to hear any, or don't place them on hold. You can mute us, but don't place them on hold. So initially, as part of your materials, the minutes from the April 23rd meeting are included. So I'm going to ask for a motion to approve those minutes, unless there's any discussion as well. Is motion to approve?
Planet moves approval.
Planet moves. Is there a second of Mr. Planet's motion?
Tanya seconds.
Thank you so much. The minutes from the April 23rd meeting are moved and approved. Thank you. We have no written public comment, and as I understand it, Brandy, there's no comment at all, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and I thought I just heard somebody ring in. Did somebody ring in who didn't get a chance to confirm their attendance?
Hi, yes, this is Heather Credit from the Judicial Council.
Great. Okay, thanks so much for joining us. So, having no public comment, I think the bulk of our discussion today is going to be the prioritization of the BCPs that we've previously discussed. So just to sort of help everybody remember, we have addressed these BCPs already. We did not prioritize the BCPs that were specifically considered by TICBAC. Those are included on the table one included in your materials. We sent these to JBBC for JBBC to consider which BCP should essentially move on, and they got back to us and asked us now to prioritize the submissions. So you'll note at table one on page five of your material, though they did not, the court construction BCP did not come forward back through JBBC. So that's no longer on our list of BCPs to prioritize. The facilities and technology were general concepts that we decided to support, and they're detailed in the tables as well, especially technology. It's detailed as item five. I'll remind you guys, by the way, in the table, those are not in priority. They're just in alphabetical order, so we're going to talk about prioritizing those today. We did receive, and Sherry apologized for not being with us, we did receive a comment from Sherry true to Sherry form, never taking a day off. I got this comment about 4 o'clock for Saturday afternoon, but I think it's a very valid comment. Is Doug on the phone with us? Brandy, what's the status with Doug?
I'll check into that right now, and he was expecting to be on.
We all just got out of a meeting, so he's probably on his way, plus Blocko's with me as well on the elevator.
I get everybody's in transit. So I did ask that Doug join us on this, and I'm sure he's about to do that. So before he comes on, just to help everybody understand, Sherry's comment is specific as to the technology BCPs, specifically 5.3 regarding the Phoenix, which she describes as a Phoenix roadmap. So I apologize for not sending this out to everybody. It's not a public comment, so I didn't think that that was the appropriate way to handle it. But I did assure Sherry that we would discuss her concern. She starts off by saying she's a strong supporter of the Phoenix financial system. She knows that the branch should be proud we're all using the same financial system. Her concern, however, is on comment 5.3 regarding the Phoenix roadmap. And reading from her email, she says there seems to be a huge amount of money being requested to update and expand the Phoenix system with little explanation as to why, including $15.8 million one time over fiscal year 1920 and 2021. But then in 21-22, the request is for 7.6 ongoing. She then notes there's a request for 7 staff to support the additional work of Phoenix, which should be 100% funded by those courts that use the system. This is what Doug's going to help us understand. Doug, are you on yet? Okay, Doug, I've asked, when Doug gets on, he's going to describe for us exactly how Phoenix impacts us all. Sherry continues, I do not understand why the need for positions and ongoing money, do not understand the need, since both HR and procurement modules are optional for the courts and should be 100% funded by the courts that use them, which is a point I think that we should discuss. She continues, I suggest tickback review, and I would support the cloud migration and technical upgrades that are most likely the one-time costs to separate any costs related to the HR and procurement modules until a more detailed presentation can be provided. Her concern, however, is she's curious why JCC staff projects 2 to 3 deployments of the HR module over the next several years, how much it costs, and if ultimately the costs will pay for the system in accordance with the current policy, what impact, if any, to the IMF is projected due to recent new developments of HR and procurement modules if the BCP is not approved. So I know I'm throwing a lot at you. Those are Sherry's comments. If anybody wants me to forward, any member wants me to forward those to them, just send me an email. I'll be happy to do that. Again, the only reason why I didn't do it was timing and because it's not a public comment. So has Doug joined us yet? Okay, well, that kind of stifled our discussion on this, at least until Doug comes in. So
Doug is here now. I'm sorry. We had a staff meeting.
All right, Doug. So, Doug, I've summarized Sherry's email to everybody so they're aware of Sherry's concerns.
Yes.
And I suggested that you be on the call to sort of, once again, give us a little bit of background of how Phoenix is utilized by court and funded, and any response to Sherry's comment.
Sure. So since I didn't hear, I guess you just read her question, so I'll just kind of respond to that. So part of her question was why was the payroll not separate proposal? And in the original IFRs, it actually was a separate proposal, but when it went through JVBC, they combined it because they wanted less BCPs to submit, so it got included in the IT ones. The payroll portion of it, the request for 1920 is actually $900,000, and the 3 positions. The total of the 3 positions is $385,000. And then there's one-time cost of $490,000, which is a backfill for the deployments. In the history of Phoenix, the courts have never paid for deployment, either in finance or in payroll. On the payroll side, they pay for the ongoing costs. But in this particular case, we're asking for general fund for those 3 positions so that the courts on the payroll system don't have to pick up that piece. And so that's the $385,000 that we're asking from the general fund. I'm just looking at my notes. She commented about not being able to see the details, and you'll all get a chance to review that when the actual BCP comes out. She asked about what deployments we're talking about. So we're currently deploying Santa Clara and Sutter, and we have Calusa on the schedule for August. And then there's a few other courts that have approached us and said they would be interested in going on to the Phoenix payroll system. For those of you who aren't aware, some of the advantages that those courts see in going on Phoenix is that it's one system. The financial and the payroll system are one system. And so you can have employees on their timesheets recording projects and the time that they're spending on those projects. And when the payroll runs against those timesheets, that information automatically shows up in the finance system. And then someone who's looking at the finance system, if you're interested in how much a particular project costs or certain programs, it's right there in the system. And if somebody on the finance side wanted to know more details, they can actually drill into that item, and it actually goes over to the payroll side, and it shows you all of the people that are charging to that. So that's one of the big advantages, is that because it's one system, you can get down to the actual details. So we are asking for part of the upgrade request. So another part of our question had to do with the IMF, the Improvement Modernization Fund. We are making a request in the upgrade portion of the BCP that we replace the IMF contribution to Phoenix with general fund dollars. So if we're successful at the end of this, the IMF will no longer be paying for Phoenix. It'll all come out of the general fund. And then she did make a comment in her note about that the procurement SURF system isn't mandatory. Actually, all of the courts do use the procurement module, and it is mandatory from that sense. The parts that some courts are paying for around procurement has to do with buyer services. And so for a lot of the smaller courts, they don't have the ability to have a full-time buyer. And so they leverage our staff to help them if they've got big RFPs or they need to make a big purchase. And that is the functions that they're paying for. So I think I kind of addressed her note, but I can take any questions that anybody has about that.
So any questions from the group about, and thanks very much for that follow-up, Doug. I know you were busy jumping on the call, but
Yeah. Anybody
have concerns about Doug's summary or Sherry's concerns?
Hi, this is David Yamasaki. I just want to speak to some of the current concerns that Sherry had expressed. And I'm on the same page as Sherry is as it relates to the payroll system. Most all of the courts handle their payroll through the county, and we like many, have to pay for our portion of whatever the cost relates to us. So I also express concern about folding that component in. I know that obviously is an area where the system can accommodate courts who are facing the prospect of moving off county systems for payroll, but in folding that into this particular item with judicial calendar oversight, there would definitely be disparity among all of the courts who are paying for this as well. So the other piece that I would mention is I think Doug mentioned that none of the courts are paying or have never paid for using Phoenix Financial or purchase. I can't remember what was stated.
I was talking about the deployment part of it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that with that clarification, I don't have anything to add on that.
Yeah.
This is Dan Buckley. On the three positions that you mentioned, that's what, one-time money for three positions during deployment only?
No, actually, the three positions are ongoing, and if the general fund money was not approved for this, that would be the three positions that the courts that are using the system would share the cost of. The 490 is for the deployment side of it. It's backfill in our consultant contract so that we can cover for the folks that are working on the deployment. And that's a time and materials contract, so it's only what we actually use to do the deployments. So the whole one thing about the whole proposal is these are the high end, so it really only depends on how many courts decide to go on to the payroll system, and we're only going to staff up to the level that people come on the system.
Judge Buckley, did you have a chance? I just want to make sure that I've stated Sherry's concern. This is John Conklin again, and I'm not sure if she talked to you at all, Judge Buckley, if there's anything else you wanted to add about that.
No, Judge Conklin. I think you did a nice job in summarizing the issues on that.
All right.
This is Tanya. How many courts are on the system?
13.
All 58 courts use the financial system, which I'm sure you're all aware of. There's 13 courts on the payroll system, plus, like I said, we're adding Santa Clara and Sutter right now, and then Calusa will be added in starting in August. So we'll be up to 16.
And from the procurement side, still, this is Tanya, because I know a number of us use Los Angeles.
So all courts are using the Phoenix procurement system.
Okay.
So all of your procurement information is put into the system. The services that we provide some courts is more around buyer services, helping them develop RFPs, doing the solicitation process. But once that's done, the resulting contract or the purchase orders that are associated with that contract, that information is all entered into the Phoenix system by all 58 courts.
Thank you.
Yes.
So to follow up on what – this is Dan Buckley again, and following up what David said, I guess the main issue right now is the 7 positions that would be ongoing that would specifically support the payroll program, and whether that should be, in fact, part of this BCP, or whether there should be an understanding that that cost would be borne by the courts actually using the payroll program.
This is Chad Finke from Alameda, and I have the exact same concern that Judge Buckley just raised. I mean, that was the one comment that I had about this item, too, was what the deal was with those 7 positions.
So this is Mike Planet. Judge Conklin, I got a couple comments to throw in here. So I think that it's not like we're talking about reprogramming the money from the trust fund to support this. This is a BCP going to ask for general fund money to give some stability to a program that I think at some point in the near future, if it was available, Ventura and probably other courts would consider joining onto the program. So if you choose not to go onto it, that's your choice. If you do choose to go onto it, then I think it'd be advantageous to us in the future to have that available. And with regard to the FTE numbers, I know I have 2.5 people on payroll here in my court. So 7 to maintain a system for a dozen or more courts doesn't seem outrageous to me.
So I guess this is John Conklin. Again, I'm reminding us all that this is – so remember now, we're just talking about these BCPs in general and prioritization of the BCPs, which this one is included in, but it's among quite a few others we need to discuss. Mike, I like the way you phrased it as contrasted as well. I think there's valid concerns here. So one, to overgeneralize, is if you're using it, should you pay for it versus – well, if it's beneficial to everybody, why doesn't everybody get into it so we can all not have to worry about that aspect of who's paying for it? Does that summarize folks' concerns?
And yeah, so, go ahead. That's right.
So given that, I don't know if you guys want to sort of keep this in play, the concern about this BCP specifically, and then open it up to a discussion of all the BCPs, and then circle back around to this one to make sure if we even want to continue to include it, and if we do, where we prioritize it. So we could either, as a group, decide we want to take it out, or we could say let's move it down or up the list.
So, Judge Conklin, Dan Buckley again. So I guess the question is, has the ship sailed that the BCP is going to be for 5.71 million dollars, and if one has a view about these issues raised by Sherry, that might be a reason to put it lower on the ranking. But the only thing we're going to talk about is ranking, and changing or playing with the actual BCP is not for today's discussion. Is that what I heard
you say? Well, actually, it's come. So what's happened is it's gone. We looked at them all. We tossed them to JBBC and said, these are the BCPs that we're considering. And they sent it back to us and said, okay, we're going to take one of them off the table. But I think we still have the if I'm wrong, especially from staff, correct me, but I think we do still have the option to say we've decided not to move forward with certain BCPs that have come back to us. So we can either prioritize or remove. I don't think we can add. We're beyond that.
Judge Conklin, this is Dave Rubin. I'm actually here for a different matter, but I'm chair of JBBC. Yes, you still have full flexibility on a particular BCP, but not – we can't really take in any new ones at this level.
Right. Perfect.
But you can certainly adjust the numbers and take whatever you want off the table.
So we can adjust the priority, we can adjust the numbers, or we can remove them from the list, but we can't come up with any new ones now, at least until next year.
Well, so I want to make one correction, Judge, if that's okay. So
sure.
Some of the BCPs before you have been proposed by other advisory bodies, and this is your opportunity to provide comment. So what will go to is that just table two? So JCTC did not propose Phoenix?
Budget Services proposes that the Judicial Council Technology Committee take the lead. Now, I lumped this with technology as a supporting item for TICBAC, but they decided to support what other committees submitted for those general technology and what was the other one?
So I think it's true to say that JCTC have considered this and are pulling it forward. So what will happen at JBBC is the comments from JCTC and TICBAC will be before them when they consider them in May.
Is that your understanding, Judge Rubin?
Right. I when I was listening to this, I guess I thought it was coming out of TICBAC in some form, but right. If it's from somebody else's group, you're invited to comment, we'll take that into consideration.
There you go. Yeah.
But obviously you control your own, not others.
Right. So, Brandy, as I understand it, so we all have the same materials. And table one, it reads in part, includes BCP priority recommendations first identified by TICBAC. Well, we did identify technology as a BCP. And so essentially what we've done is we've supplemented that technology BCP with comments from other advisory or internal committees, including technology. Is that correct, Brandy?
Correct, correct. And we did the same thing for facility maintenance and modifications.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to make sure all clear. TICBAC didn't say, let's do a BCP for Phoenix.
Right.
TICBAC
right.
says, we're interested in technology. Let's see what JCTC has to offer.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So with that, I don't think John's had a chance to join us, and not hearing his voice, that's confirmed. What I've asked, therefore, Zlatko to stand in and do is
sure.
sort of both take us back to remind us of enhance the approach of these BCP concepts in general as it relates specifically, and this is sort of something I'd like to hear about the current budget and how advantageous it looks to us, and how do we prioritize these or perhaps make decisions on what to continue to include so that we enhance sure. our approaches on the budget.
Thank you, Judge Conklin and the members of the committee. In terms of the list that was developed, this list, if we all recall, was initiated even before the governor's budget came out. And then when we had our first meeting and we were sort of in light of the governor's budget, we sort of struggling with how we now consider what are our priorities relative to that proposal. And so at that time, there were a number of things that we weren't sure of. And where we were, and now we are, 2-3 months into the process with the legislature, and I think we've seen positive reactions to what's been proposed in the governor's budget thus far. And so, in light of looking at the list and sort of reassessing where we are, one view could be sort of more optimistic and positive as far as what would be in the budget, and assuming that there is. The $122 million that deals with the trial court operations, there's some thought that would we continue to pursue that, this issue that's number three on the list, as we go forward for the next administration. And, we've talked about what sort of relative funding levels the overall trial courts are as it relates to the need that the funding methodology is identified, and what progress we're making there. So one view in terms of looking at this list is being optimistic and having to sort of manage going forward that maybe number three gets tabled for this round, knowing that to the extent that the final budget may be different, that we would then obviously need to reexamine that like we would with any of the proposals. And that's why the JBBC does its work post-May revision, and then the council is post-budget to make sure that everything falls into place. But I think possibly going forward and identifying this as a need while we have a substantial funding item in the budget pending the legislature may not necessarily be the best strategy for us, just so going sort of publicly with our next year's requests in the process now. Always understanding that, as Judge Rubin is here on the phone, knows that if circumstances change, that's the role and responsibility of the JBBC looking at the overall budget for the branch and being able to adjust that strategy going forward, knowing full well that this was an important issue for the trial courts pre-governor's budget proposal. But then we have to think about what does it mean for what we're saying we need going into the 19-20 fiscal year.
So,
this is Dan Buckley, and I definitely hear what you're saying, especially since I think all of us have had some conversations with different legislators and others about this year is something, and then next year maybe not trial court operations. But one, obviously, if we get zero, it really is a decrease for trial courts.
Correct.
And I'm wondering, has there been thought that if we reduce that number from 178 million, whether you call it a three-year plan or a five-year plan, and that the ask for the funding for court operation, trial court operations would be just using over 3 years, 60 million next year instead of 178.
Yeah. But I think we still have to understand sort of where our overall funding need is heading. And the memo was talked about, the budget memo from the January budget talked about, when you consider all funding sources, how funded are the trial courts in terms of the overall need. And we were talking about 90%. And that wasn't even in acknowledgement of, what seems to be continuing declining filings. And so that sort of general money for trial court operations, I don't see it as having the same energy because of how close we are. And I know you've heard, John and us talk about, where sort of state agency funding generally is. And to when you get into that 90% plus range, then what are you asking for? What are you justifying? And I think that invites then maybe examinations on our overall operations. Are we wanting to potentially invite that versus looking at more strategic investments going forward? But the sort of general funding, that seemed very appropriate when you had, a $900 million shortfall, a $600 million shortfall, a $400 million shortfall. Now we're getting down to the point where with the funds being at the level that they are, and the overall funding, I think it's much harder to sort of demonstrate, with assuming that you get the $122 million, that there's that basic operational gap at the levels that we were arguing before about.
And I hear that, and I recognize that if number two, the funding augmentations is high enough at any amount, that could cover what I'm concerned about. But if in fact trial courts get zero in next fiscal year, we're
sure.
Not at 90% of funding. We're going down
understood.
To 88 or 89%.
No, I understand. This was the assumption that this money, the money that's in the governor's budget, would stay. Because now we're thinking about what is our 1920 request. So this wouldn't do anything as it relates to the 18-19 advocacy, which we think is still very strong.
So
but
no,
that's
no,
what
no,
I'm
no,
saying
no,
about.
Do we have a mechanism to say just that? I mean, I do appreciate from an advocacy perspective for our budget that if we include something like this, it may fall on folks to say, hold on, you're asking again? So do we have a, is there a way in the BCP process or something to use the word table before?
Oh, and that's why I was just suggesting with Judge Rubin. Yeah, is that because every one of these issues, like, for example, if you look on the next page, or not page, but the next table, I mean, there are some items there that are BCPs in the budget, and I would suggest that if we were to look at those would be adjusted. Self-help, the items D and E, as an example, to what extent we then have anything as it relates to language access. I mean, there's things that we would want to reevaluate in light of the actual enacted budget, and that's why the council waits until July to see what that budget brings so they can reassess the budget needs. So I'm saying in terms of assuming that the budget is going to be passed the way that we have it programmed now, there would be a change in this list. Obviously, then if the budget then somehow finds its way to not have those funds, then the JBBC would be working, moving through the issue. So that's how I see that path going. I don't think that Judge Rubin would necessarily disagree, but I don't want to entirely speak on his behalf.
So Judge Rubin is here and agrees. I mean, we build in a certain amount of flexibility into the, obviously we're making plans 18 months out. So we build in a certain amount of flexibility so we can, when we get to July, we can make a more refined suggestion to the council. So I agree with what Zlakwa just said.
I agree with Judge Buckley's concern that I don't think we ever want to portray that we're no longer concerned about sufficient funds for trial court operations. On the other hand, I would just as a suggestion, if we tabled this with a clear message that the only reason we're tabling it is given the current optimistic perspective of the budget, it appears to me that we enhance our advocacy by saying we recognize what we've gained, and we also recognize that there might be other BCPs that should take priority above this.
So I'm not being clear, or everyone disagrees, which is fine, but I'm assuming with my comments that the $120 million, very specifically the $75 million for just discretionary, all is passed. What I'm trying to say is that if we get $75 million for trial courts to be distributed in whatever way we decide, and in 2020 we get zero additional money, that means really we didn't get $75 million as of 2020. We got whatever it is, $72 or $73 million. And I'm just wanting to say that we should acknowledge that year to year, even though we had a nice jump in 18-19 up to 90%, if we don't advocate for any amount of additional trial court operational money, we go back to the old days of taking minor, maybe small steps, we start taking steps backwards.
Other thoughts?
All of that is probably moot if, in fact, we put as a high priority the funding augmentation. So thank you, Judge Conklin. That's all.
This is Dave Rubin. So I think what Judge Buckley said is important to remember. And I think that the budget committee is sensitive to that. The question, I think, before the budget committee is, how do we approach this in a way that we're not laughed out of the room? But we are sensitive to what Judge Buckley was talking about and ways forward that we don't start rolling back.
So to paraphrase, Dave, instead of lapped out of the room, I just don't want our credibility to be damaged moving forward on these BCPs. And Judge Buckley, I think the funding augmentation and revenues, just to get us to a starting point as far as where we start to prioritize these, might be one that we want to think about either keeping it two or moving to one, and that the trial court operations, I think Judge Buckley's message is one that cannot be lost, and I think we're all trying to struggle to figure out how to make sure it's not lost. We don't want to take advantage of what we gained, but we surely don't want to lose what we've gained either by remaining silent on this. So, Zlatko, how do we best accomplish that?
Oh, well, thanks for that challenge, and I appreciate it. So, I think it might be, again, just a language issue as we go through this. So maybe it's a revision to what is this approach. Is there some, and I know we used it, like, say, in the technology issue of a placeholder, but what is sort of ensuring that the cost of doing business is not eroded if we're not making sort of strides towards the funding gap but how do we address the, you know, the issues of cost beyond just what we're seeing? And that's why part of this was cost of living adjustments for staff. You know, there's historically been issues with CPI on operating expenses and equipment and things like that. But just, I think, general sort of unidentified areas make it more difficult for us to justify, I think, in light of a new administration also looking at these proposals. So, I mean, if there's a way to tailor it so that it's sort of more focused in light of the budget proposal, might be a better way to do it than just a general sort of funding methodology gap amount, if we want to preserve an item on the list. Or do we, or can we just subsume it as part of what number two is some sort of funding strategy for the trial courts?
Thoughts?
Well, with all that discussion, this is Dan Buckley again. Let me throw out a discussion that what is currently number two, funding augmentation, should in fact be number one as far as a priority. The number may be too high. We can talk about whether that is too high to not be laughed out of the room. But whatever that magic number might be, and I would defer to the expertise of Zlatko et al., but I think given all we've discussed, let me suggest that we put funding augmentation as our top priority of a BCP.
This is Maragonda. I concur with Judge Buckley on that.
Yamasaki concurs as well, as does Judge Marginis.
Rebecca,
so, just not to take anybody's voice away, and I'm sorry for stepping over who was just talking, but is there anybody who would oppose, and if so, please let us know now, doing just that, moving funding augmentation, so that would be our first BCP priority. Any thoughts on that or opposition to that? So if that's the case, now funding augmentation to revenues, Judge Buckley or Z, do you have any thoughts? Do we change that language at all to notate the funding for trial court operations, or do we just, Judge Buckley, is it your thought that if we make that number one, we just table number three at least for now?
The latter, Judge Conklin.
Okay. So funding augmentation for revenues would be number one. We table number three, and I'd ask staff to somehow fashion a note to our recommendation that by tabling it, it is not meant to mean we are no longer concerned about it, but we're recognizing there are higher priorities.
No, and I agree, and I think we absolutely have the benefit of Judge Rubin here to hear it firsthand as the chair of JBBC. So I think we're lucky to have him hearing these and not hearing us brief him after the fact. So I think that's a good. We could definitely do that, and it'll be supported by his own recollection of the conversation.
Excellent.
That's good afternoon, Judge Conklin. This is John Wardlaw, just letting you know I just jumped in.
Great, John. Zlatko's done a great job stepping in for where we had you on the agenda, so I really appreciate both of you being on here. So then what about, to continue this on, the thoughts of making facility maintenance and modifications number two? Any thoughts on that?
How about Judge Shipp?
This is Nancy. I'll speak up on that one.
Who's that?
Sorry, this is Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
From San Bernardino. I'm actually on that advisory committee, and I would have to say that this should receive a high ranking. We're looking at deficit situations coming up in the next year with a lot of deferred maintenance, a lot of P1 priorities that are just not getting taken care of. I think most of our counties know the state of the buildings that came over from the county, and we need to do something about that.
This is Dan Buckley, and coupled with the fact that new construction is not on the BCP list, all the more reason why maintenance needs to be very high, if not, in fact, number two.
I thought I heard somebody who mentioned a thought about judgeships and where that should lie. Did I hear that?
Yeah, this is Linda. I said, how about judgeships at number two?
This is Nancy. Although I know we're in critical need for judgeships, we do have some legislation going through right now, and I think that might be a path forward for us, just my opinion.
This is Tanya. I agree with that.
So do you mean to, and I just want to make sure that to some clarification, is your suggestion that we keep judgeships below facility maintenance or that we table judgeships? I just wanted to know what your thought was.
This is Nancy again, below modifications.
Okay.
As well.
Okay, I'm good with that. This is Linda.
Okay, so the proposal would be funding augmentations, which is currently number two, would be number one. Facility maintenance, which is currently number one, would fall to number two. We table number three with the comment we've talked about. And then judgeships, we're now down to judgeships and technology. So if we go judgeships number three and then technology four as detailed, and I'm just putting that out there to start the discussion on that would be our list.
Judge Conklin, this is John Wardlaw. I'd be remiss by not saying that we are eagerly awaiting the release of the governor's May revise. We have been pushing really hard for a number of items, and I think that to the extent that we're successful in some of our advocacy, this group may want to reconsider. We're expecting, obviously, May 14th is the statutory date for release of the governor's May revise. We've heard tentatively that they may have an early release, as early as perhaps Friday. And so just wanted to put that out there that this group may want to, depending on the outcome of the May revise, there may be some opportunity for kind of revisiting.
Sure. So, John, just to what we have essentially, at least for now, we have not taken a motion yet, but the current, I think, thought is that number three, funding for charcoal operations, comes off the list and is tabled.
I see. Thank you, Judge.
You
so, Judge, it's Lucy. I just need some clarification. When is it tabled until?
Well, I guess that depends on how you guys fashion the note. Tabling should not in any way telegraph that we're no longer concerned about it. So it's tabled for 1 year, I guess. I mean, Judge Buckley, you're there. This is always something we want to keep at the forefront, but right now I think we're looking pretty good. Next year, as Judge Buckley said, what happens next year if with the new administration it totally changes?
So we will not be submitting a BCP for 1920 for this item.
That's my understanding of the current proposal.
But it's based on assumption that the budget as proposed in January remains in place. Cool.
Yes.
And this is Dan Buckley, and that funding augmentation is seriously on the table at some reasonable amount. If somehow that was pulled, then I think we should advocate that some funding for trial court operations return. But
That's what I need clarification on is, will there, even if there is the full amount in the budget, will there be a request for trial court operations funds for 1920?
Dan Buckley, I would be comfortable with supporting the idea that it would not,
okay,
so long as there is some reasonable amount being advocated or BCP for funding augmentation.
Which is now prioritized as number one.
Exactly.
Which is the item number two.
Civil assessment.
Right. So two becomes one, one becomes two, three's off the list, and now our discussion is between judgeships and technology, do we keep both, and if so, where do they go? And I think where we were, at least as a proposal, was judgeships would be number three, and then we're circling back around to where we started with Sherry's comments about technology, even though this technology BCP is in more inclusive than just the Phoenix issue.
So this is
Judge
Conklin.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Judge. No, go, John.
So with respect to the conversation with the administration, both the Department of Technology as well as the Department of Finance have identified that the proposals that we put forward last fall, they said, have merit but they want to have continued conversation with us. I see that as a very positive sign from them. They've said that during the summer months, they would like to dedicate time to better understanding our technology investments and our needs. And so I see that as a signal that I don't think in the May revise we're going to see much there. I hope I'm surprised, but the signals I'm getting lean toward a deeper conversation during the summer months. That in and of itself, though, is positive that they want to spend time. If they were not going to fund it, period, they would just dismiss it and be done. So I do think that there will be some time this summer dedicated to a very focused technology conversation.
Then do I hear you saying, John, that you're recommending that we at least keep this on the list, that we not table it, because this is something that we want attention to be continue to pay for as far as a priority on the list?
Yes, Judge. That's exactly it. I would recommend that you continue to keep this item, given the interest by the two control entity departments that are really instrumental in getting money into the next governor's budget. With respect to prioritization, I think as long as it's on the list, I've already got a commitment from these departments to come over and have a conversation. I don't know that it matters really necessarily placement on the list as long as we're still advocating. They've said that they will make time to get a deeper conversation going.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. So with that information and the information that kind of kicked off the conversation earlier about some of the details that were provided under each item and some remaining questions, I think it's reasonable and appropriate to, as John is suggesting, to keep the technology as an item for consideration, but it may be too early to talk about the numbers anyway, and I think the additional time will help us clarify what all is being sought, and we can have further dialogue about you know, whether that should remain as expressed or tailored a bit.
I think it's a great suggestion. I just want to make sure we have time to do that. So Lucy or whoever is keeping track of our timing as far as when we need to get this back to and Judge Rubin as well, JBBC, and then ultimately for approval, would that work within the current schedule? So we would keep technology on, for instance, as number four, but then make final decisions about the numbers at a later time. Is that possible?
I think we meet again at the end of May, and then we meet again before the July council meeting. So I think
Judge.
Okay.
You meet in May, and that's it before council.
Right, because we have to get on the EMP schedule to go.
Yes.
So yes. The end of May will be it.
So we don't have time.
No.
So
okay.
This is Judge Heinrichs, and I do think that the technology infrastructure on the list is really important, and I may be wrong about it, but as far as John's comments, maybe the numbers aren't that important as we sort of develop through. I think that infrastructure is critically important, maybe for everybody, but the larger courts may have their own, but for the small and medium-sized courts, having that infrastructure to plug into is all the difference in the world. So I think it should be there. I think four is okay, and I'm not sure the numbers are all that relevant in light of the comments that John made, that there's going to be further discussions and clarifications as we go through, but that's just my comment.
And the other thing is that if these numbers are adjusted, our discussion has suggested that the only thing that might adjust would be 5.3, and it would go down, and it wouldn't really go down that much. And so it's one thing if the number could go up, but if, in fact, an adjustment is go down, then obviously John and others, LACO, can handle that in direct conversations with DOF. And if I hear John correctly, that we do not need at this time to rank 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3, if it's premature, Judge Conklin, please tell me, but I would make a motion that we set the priorities with funding augmentation 1, facility maintenance 2, Judgeships 3, and technology as an entire group, 4.
Barton, I'll second that.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. As Judge Buckley made that comment, then he also referenced John, and John, I think, is still on the call. So I want to make sure that's correct then, that we do not, it's not, the number that we include is not all that important right now, just as long as it's continued to be included as a BCP. Is that accurate, John?
Yes, it is, Judge.
Okay. So the motion that's been moved and seconded is funding augmentation 1, facilities 2, judgeships 3, technology 4 as the BCPs that we will now send back. Judge Rubin is on the line. He's heard all this. Send to JBBC in that prioritized list. Been moved and seconded, open for comment before I ask for a vote. Any further comments or discussion on that?
Judge Conklin?
Yes.
Do you also want included in your motion, in Judge Buckley's motion, the input regarding the Phoenix BCP?
My intent with the motion was not to include that. I think everyone's heard
okay.
it, and since we're not going to worry about the specific numbers, I don't think it's necessary, unless, again, you all tell us we should.
I think we're good.
Okay. So Judge Buckley's motion stands as is seconded. Did that also include, and I'm not sure if it needs to be part of the motion, we talked about a notation here back to JBBC and Judge Buckley's on, I mean, Judge Rubin's on the line, that by removing item 3, by tabling it, we are still very concerned about it. It's just not a BCP priority for this year. So that language could be included in the recommendation back to JBBC. Any further discussion on this? So recognizing we're on the phone, I'm going to do it the way we typically have done it in the past. Is there any opposition to the motion that's been seconded for those 4 BCPs moving forward to JBBC in that order? Any opposition? I've paused, I've waited, I hear no opposition, so therefore the motion is unanimously approved that those 4 BCPs move forward. Now, we have 2 other items, and I know time is getting a little bit short here. The next item is set forth in your materials. I want to make sure we all have the same thing here. And those are the BCPs that came forward, table 2, that are being moved forward by other committees. And so to start the discussion here, my thought would be that we take the same approach before, that for each of these, we are simply recognizing they are valid BCPs and supporting each of those committees' internal recommendations, but we are not prioritizing A through I in table 2. Thoughts?
This is Judge Blum. I missed a roll call, but I am here.
Thanks. Yeah, Judge Blum has joined us. Judge Heinrichs has joined us. Judge McCabe has joined us. So I think we're up to full staff.
Okay. I agree with your suggestion, Judge Conklin.
Are you making a motion?
So moved that we, without prioritizing them.
There's been a motion concerning Table 2 in our materials to approve without prioritizing as a recommendation to JBBC. Is there a second?
This is Judge Marginis, I second.
So I moved that along a little quickly, and I do not want to in any way prevent folks from stating concerns. So let's pause a moment. Any concerns about that motion that's now been seconded or discussion points?
This is Dan Buckley. I don't know if it's a concern, and again, it might be just reaching out to the experts on this. The Court Appointing Counsel and Juvenile, and E, the expansion of self-help, are very big ticket items, adding up to $55 million. And a concern is that if it's viewed that those are equally, if not higher, priority than others, if somehow that could impact the advocacy for what's in Table 1, in the context that we've obtained $33 million for counsel and juvenile, and we have a $19 million self-help in the current budget, whether that, as I said, could hurt some advocacy of Table 1. If John and Zlatko and others think, no, these are separate items, they just stand by themselves, then my concern is addressed.
Judge Buckley, I would offer the following. For example, I think I was making comments on the other list, but then I did refer to this list. Like D. D is an item in the budget. It shouldn't go forward, at this point. I think that it would be fair to provide, maybe without speaking to prioritization, the kind of comments that you have as far as much as the list that we just voted on or you voted on is in a reflection of what's in the budget now, then this list should be revisited and adjusted. And so clearly with the $19.1 million in for self-help, should that still remain at $23.7 million? I would suggest that it be revised and looked at for maybe only some incremental sort of smaller aspect of it. I think I would also raise this issue on C, is that you're right, Judge Buckley, that $33 million over the last handful of years has been a substantial increase. Should we be pursuing, while it's an important area, understandably, should the JVBC be thinking that they should proceed to recommend to the council that this issue remain, you know, as a high priority had as it been in the past, given its recent increases? So I think maybe it's an issue of what is communicated by TICBAC as it relates to guidance or suggested guidance to JVBC in terms of how they look at the remaining BCPs. And you're not giving specific numerical input. You're giving, for prioritization, you're giving a strategic input to the committee.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we do have to remain somewhat consistent with our approach to Table 1, and I think Judge Buckley and Zlatko make a real good point on that. So would the thought be that C and E simply, I don't want to create the impression that we are opposed to them, but that C and E would simply come off of TICBAC's recommendation of support for those BCPs?
This is Judge Heinrichs. My thought would be is we try to word it closer to what Zlatko just said, and that is that the dollar amounts would be subject to rediscussion depending on the funding levels for the current fiscal year. And that way, we recognize that they're important, but that they would be adjusted based on monies that may be received already.
Jim Herman, I agree with that. That's what I think that's where we were.
So, Zlatko, can that language, are you comfortable with that? Hello?
Is that to Judge Buckley, or is that to me? I'm sorry,
that was to you, Zlatko, of Judge Heinrichs thought of, rather than include the money amounts in C and E, and then Judge Buckley, you can comment too, whether include the money amounts, we state only as is necessary considering the budget, the current budget proposal.
That would feels like it was what I was describing. But again, I want to make sure Judge Buckley is comfortable given he raised the issue.
Yes, given everything that's been said, I am comfortable with that.
Okay. So, Judge Blum, I think you made the motion. I'm trying to remember. So, would you be comfortable, Judge Blum, with that being your motion, in your motion, that C and D, the dollar amounts included in Table 2, be omitted, and simply there be a notation that we support each of C and E to the amount necessary, considering the current budget proposal or something to that effect?
Yeah, this is Judge Blum. I'm comfortable with that.
Who seconded Judge Blum?
This is Martin. I did. And I'm comfortable with seconding the motion as amended.
Okay. Judge Buckley, does that alleviate your concern or address your concern?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. And Zlatko, is that something, is that, you understand the language we've talked about, is that something you have a concept of?
Yeah, no, I think we're in a good spot.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded now, it's slightly modified to Table 2 without prioritization, that we continue to support those BCPs as they go to JBBC with the notations. Any additional comments or discussion on that motion? Hearing none, again, asking, is there any opposition to that motion Hearing no opposition, that motion is unanimously approved as the motion was slightly modified. Okay, so I appreciate everybody's patience. We now have one more item on our agenda, and that's the item that Judge Rubin has joined us for. And I want to be careful here how we discuss this. So who's on from staff to discuss this?
Good afternoon. This is Eric Schirmfeil, Deputy Chief Counsel. And,
thanks, Eric.
Good afternoon. And I've got Deborah Brown here, Chief Counsel as well. And just so you know, Judge Conklin, I think that Judge Rubin, if he hasn't already left the call, has to leave at 1:05. He's got a trial pending that he had to go off to.
Right. I'm still here, but I have an unlimited problem I got to go solve.
So do you want to make any comments on this, Judge Rubin, before you have to go solve other problems?
No, I'm good, unless there's any questions of me. Hearing none, thank you, everybody.
Okay, so the recommendation is set forth, I believe, on page 12 of the materials that we have. I want to make sure I have that correct. And that's approval one-time augmentation of $933,000 to the IMF allocations for the LNP to include the $150,000 transfer from the regional office and $183,000 transfer from Judicial Performance Defense Insurance and a $600,000 augmentation from the IMF fund balance. So that's the recommendation for our committee to approve. Any comments or discussion or concerns?
Judge,
all right.
Just
go ahead, Doug. Mr.
David Yamasaki, thank you. So in the materials that we received, there were references that were made that included cases that had been filed against my court, and my name is identified, as is Mike Planas. Would it be appropriate for us to participate in this, even though the fund basically funds all litigation lodged against all of the courts?
You know, I don't know. Does staff have a thought on that? I don't. If the two of you simply abstained, I think we could still clearly move forward on this.
I think that's what Mike Planet did last year when we had a similar request.
So, David, that's
a great idea.
Yep, I think you two should abstain. And when I call for a vote, if you could both clarify that you're abstaining, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that include Judge Margins, who's also?
It should. Yeah.
We'll proceed accordingly. Thank you.
Yeah, it'll include both of your courts.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this one? Is there a motion?
Buckley moves.
Judge Buckley's moved to approve recommendation number one. Is there a second?
Roddy second.
Roddy seconds. I think above somebody else who jumped in. Thanks for that. Any further discussion on the motion that's been seconded to approve the recommendation set forth on page 12 of your materials? Hearing none. Any opposition? Hearing none, the recommendation on page 12 is unanimously approved. All right. So I think that takes us through everything in our materials. Lucy or Brandy, have we left anything out? Anything else you'd like us to clarify or discuss today?
No. Good. Thank you.
Okay. My thanks to all of you today. This is a telephonic conference. It gets a little difficult, but I think we had some very appropriate comments that engaged us in a good discussion. I'm comfortable we're moving forward. So thank you all. Meeting is adjourned. Thanks, folks.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you and goodbye.